Brian here up in Toronto has been a lucky person. He's been going to the what we call in Toronto Fort Book, a huge castle with millions of books that the students use at the University of Toronto, but they recently acquired in their special section called the Thomas Fisher Rare Book Library 5,000 volumes from Marshall McLuhan's Personal Library, and Brian is looking through them. So, Brian, you can begin to talk about how you want to talk about it in any way you want to.
Cool. Well, it certainly is a fantastic resource. I mean, it's sometimes just looking through the list, it's great to know just a particular book was in McLuhan's library, and even if there's no notes in it or anything, but and a bunch of the books have notes that are really only extend to just a few. He's got a few notes on the back cover of this page number has this idea and a couple of underlined phrases or something. So a lot of times it just shows what he paid attention to, but doesn't necessarily have a lot of his notes or extra stuff that he says. But some of the stuff definitely has extra stuff that he says, and I think most of the juicy stuff is stuff I haven't really looked at yet. But I don't know.
What was the one you mentioned to me, Naked Lunch? What's the one with a lot of interesting...
Naked Lunch is in there with annotations. I haven't looked at that yet, but Nova Express, one of the other cut-up ones. And that one has a whole bunch of... McLuhan was clearly... he clearly really, dug it. I mean, the whole McLuhan on Burroughs thing is a pretty ambiguous subject. He released that one piece, Notes on Burroughs, which is a couple of good, dense pages of ideas and notes and comments, but it's not, it's kind of ambiguous in a for or against sense. It's, at times, it's fairly dismissive of Burroughs. He talked about how he is merely reacting to the new environment. He even says at one point, I'm not sure if it's in the notes on Burroughs or if it's in a letter somewhere McLuhan's quoted as saying he is not very intelligent, which is, of course, no Burroughs fan really wants to hear that.
Yeah.
But then again, just the fact that he felt compelled to respond to Burroughs really makes it clear that Burroughs was not, I'm sure at any given time the literary world is abuzz about a few different names, but Burroughs was clearly more of an event and an innovation and something that McLuhan, who knows, maybe he had just heard dozens and dozens of times, what do you think of Burroughs, what do you think of Burroughs,
because
not just that he's new and avant-garde and has modernist kind of innovations of technique, but a lot of his subject matter dealt very explicitly with technology. Not just in the kind of cut-up sense, but he's talking about tape recorders and all that kind of the image film. And biologic film is one of the parts that McLuhan underlined frequently, or underlined and seemed to take pretty seriously.
The phrase biologic film?
Yes, biologic film and the biologic theater.
Yeah.
And when talking about, no one can leave the theater, and that is the body.
Yeah.
I have these notes written down in kind of a few different pages here. I have to flip around a bit. But,
well, in those notes in Publisher Nation magazine, December of 64, he says that Burroughs is the closest of adapting the insights of Finnegan's Wake. But what's interesting is McLuhan, as I've said many times, is not necessarily enamored with Finnegan's Wake. He just explained why it showed up under radio conditions. And so he's sort of saying Burroughs is reacting to a radio, 1934 Orwellian world, and missing the services that the new cool TV environment is having. So that Marshall pointed out he wouldn't panic and press the panic button or the off button that Burroughs was doing to the degree it was retrieving Joyce, and shows maybe that's where McLuhan really was a Wyndham Lewisite. And that review may reveal that. And he talks about Lewis and celebrates Lewis in that December 64 Nation magazine. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I get the sense, reading the annotations in Nova Express, that they seem a bit more enthusiastic than the kind of final the final opinion that comes out on Burroughs or something. Like, you can maybe get the sense that when he's going to weigh in publicly on the subject, that whether for whatever reason, I mean, you can also imagine that the Catholic McLuhan would have a little bit of trouble wanting to weigh in on behalf of the quadruple whammy. You've got the criminal, drug addict, homosexual sorcerer of Burroughs that, he might want to, well, this guy is definitely not my,
Well, he told me to stay away from them, Bob, Burroughs and, I guess, Ginsburg and that gang. The people that Barry Miles, former biographer of Frank Zappa, got more involved with and dropped the Zappa thing and then proceeded to do an anti-Zappa book. Oh, it might be perceptive, but anti-Zappa, because he left the West Coast and went to the East Coast to do books on Burroughs and Ginsburg and those guys. And McLuhan told me, stay away from those guys, Bob. Of course, I didn't, but he definitely said that on a personal level. Don't go over there.
That's interesting. But, I mean, in reading the annotations, I get the sense that he was definitely at least enjoying, very much engaged with, definitely enjoying engaging with the ideas and responding to them. And one thing, one little phrase that he repeats a couple times in the notes, and I imagine he was probably pleased with this little bit of kind of Joycean twist, the phrase, it appears on the cover of the title page where it says Nova Express, and above it he writes Nova Kane but it's written without the E on the end like the drug, so it's like the biblical Cain, and Nova Kane is a painkiller,
right.
And it's also a bit of a sound pun with, he also writes Nova Kane inside the book over the phrase the Nova Conspiracy. So it's like the Nova Con, the Nova Kane, and the bad side of the Nova Conspiracy is, you know, I mean, one of the real major plot of the book is that is as a junkie and the idea of the addiction. So the pain killing, the killer of pain, and Kane is the original killer, that the pain killing is the conspiracy. You know, and addiction to that pain killing, and Burroughs talks about, you know, basically if apomorphine that regulates your metabolism and gets you off of what you're addicted to, if apomorphine is the good guy weapon, then the morphine is clearly a kind of a bad guy. So it's interesting the way, I mean, you could also kind of, you can think about thematically, there's something to be said for the difference between the opiate painkillers and a more straightforward kind of anesthetic painkiller like Novocaine, because the psychoactive and psychological addicting effects of the opiate painkillers are definitely much, you don't really get addicted to taking Novocaine and then go into this terrible sweating withdrawal.
Yeah.
That the whole withdrawal notion and the ability to manipulate someone who's a slave to their withdrawal is kind of a major point. So, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, like, wow, like this Novocaine joke. It's almost surprising that Burroughs never dealt with it, but it makes sense because that kind of painkiller is not really the same thing. But also interesting, and I wonder if Burroughs had anything to say about this. McLuhan seems to take, there's a small part in near the beginning. A lot of his notes are right in the first section of Nova Express, the famous last words of Hassan Saba. And he talks about, let's see, where's this part? Right. There's a little sub-quote attributed to Inspector J. Lee of the Nova Police. And it says, the purpose of my writing is to expose and arrest Nova criminals. Now, and to expose and arrest is underlined with the word express written above it. And so McLuhan seems to have sort of taken Nova Express to refer to that it's like a compound word, that express means expose and arrest. And, you know, those are both.
Just left the conference.
Don't worry about that, Brian. I am playing around. Don't worry. Go ahead.
Both of those words, expose and arrest, are significant to photography, like making an exposure and you're arresting the action.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of similar, like as if the purpose of my writing is to, you know, take these artistic meta photographs of the Nova criminals and that to expose and arrest them artistically, if you can communicate that to people, that's the equivalent of kind of neutralizing their effect, their conspiratorial effect. So, yeah,
those are awesome remarks. Awesome remarks.
Yeah,
very good statement.
I like that expose and arrest thing.
Your remarks, your interpretation.
Yeah.
What you're observing is excellent. What you're noticing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and this is the first commentary ever on those archives on the Android meme. This is, no one else is doing this. So this is really good.
Well, it's a juicy subject as well, because a fairly recent release is the second volume of Burroughs's Letters.
Yeah,
which I feel like lots of people, not just me, must have been waiting for a long time. I think the first batch that go up to 1959. Have probably been available for quite a while, but this volume 2, 59 to 74, only came out a couple of years ago, and it really, it's known about Burroughs that he was, although he's partially associated with ayahuasca or Yagi, with the Yagi letters,
mm-hmm.
he is known to have not been an enthusiast for the psychedelic scene, and that it's, for example, it's in Leary's autobiography that when he was going around trying to get all of the artists and intellectuals, and particularly the bohemian beat scene, when he was trying to get all of them interested in the psilocybin pills, that Burroughs was someone that did not work on. But he portrays it basically, Leary portrays it basically as Burroughs had a bad trip or had a couple of bad trips, and that Burroughs, although he gives credit to Burroughs in his autobiography, he has Burroughs saying, computers, man, like precise pinpointing of the hostile and friendly regions of the brain, like computers and biofeedback, and that's the future. And Leary says, he was right, of course, but we were, caught up in something, something. So it's known that Burroughs was not really enthusiastic about that psychedelic scene, but it's not really... and it's known that Burroughs and Leary were friends later in life, so it's never presented as any kind of a serious opposition. But some of these letters are very, I'm sure that he came down off of his intense paranoia to be friendly with Leary, but there was a point there where he really considered Leary to be an enemy. And part of that, I'm just flipping through looking for this one letter here that's very telling.
Do they have McLuhan in the index for the letters? Does he say anything about McLuhan?
He says a couple things here and there. It's not in an index, unfortunately, but I do have a couple of pages marked, and I will definitely whip out this one very interesting letter where... he's replying to a letter from Brian Geisen, where Geisen
Anonymous just left the conference.
Still here?
Yeah, still okay. There. Say that last sentence again.
There's one letter where he mentions McLuhan, where he's responding to a letter from Brian Geisen, where he's responding as if Geisen had said something dismissive about, like, oh, well, McLuhan, like, being a Catholic, as if, like, what can you expect? And Burroughs basically comes back with a, like, well, just because he's Catholic, who cares? I think it has more to do with the fact that you were raised Catholic or something, or you just had bad experiences with Catholics. If a person presents as a friend, then treat them that way.
Right.
So Burroughs was saying, but mostly the mentions of McLuhan in the letters, unfortunately, are not really of substance with his ideas. He's just, at one point, he seems to refer dismissively to someone I think maybe Chomsky, he brings up Chomsky talking, this seems interesting what he's talking about. And he says maybe he'll turn out to be another McLuhan, which seems to mean by context another flash in the pan that we ultimately don't care about or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But at another point he says, okay, when we get this new newsletter out, we're going to send copies of it to all the worthies, including McLuhan. I wanted to bring out this one letter. There's a few letters, because Leary invited Burroughs to come travel to America. He was living in Morocco or something at the time. He invited him to travel to Cambridge to be near with Leary, was still at Harvard, and to participate in some workshop or something.
Yeah.
And at first, like, there's an initial letter in there where he says, oh, I met with Leary, and he seems like a good guy, do-do-do, and he's looking forward to going over there. But then we get this letter to Geisen. Okay, here's a couple things about Leary. Oh, no, first he writes to... So he seemed to be looking forward to, this should be interesting, should be a good experiment. Then in... The point of all this is that there is an anti-psychedelic undertone to Nova Express,
yeah.
And in the first last word section, there is a thing where it's put in the tone of some conspiracy figure who's like, what do you want? What does Hassan Saba have to offer you with his ascetic, cold, bodiless rock? We're offering you the Garden of Earthly Delights and the best of all drug kicks and love, love, love and slop bucket. Doesn't that sound better, boys? So there's a bit of a psychedelics as con aspect in there, and McLuhan even writes beside, he underlines the phrase Garden of Delights and writes beside it hallucinogenic drugs. He's clearly getting that that's what Burroughs means.
Yes.
But the point is, people don't realize so much that at the time of writing that, he very much identified Timothy Leary with this Nova Con aspect. Here's a couple of these letters. In late August or early September 1961, Burroughs to Paul Bowles. Dear Paul, this country is in a shambles, meaning the U.S. I don't know when I've seen anything so nasty. Staying in Leary's house, enough food to feed a regiment left out to spoil in the huge kitchen by Leary's overfed, undisciplined children. Unused TV sets, cameras, typewriters, toys, books, magazines, furniture stacked to the ceiling. A nightmare of stupid surfeit. The place is sick, 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 and disgusting. Like a good European, I'm stashing all the dollars I can lay hands to with one thought in mind. Walk, don't run to the nearest exit. Have you taken those mushrooms? Seems to me about the same as Prestonia. I don't know much about that. Some other psychedelic, I guess.
Hmm.
Nothing will get another psilocybin pill down this throat. I am, of course, not expressing my feelings on the subject to Leary, lest he cut off the dollars. Just how precise and definite my feelings on the subject are, I hesitate to express to anyone. But, of course, he was never very hesitant to express his extreme feelings to Brian Geisen. And in the next letter, he says, Dear Brian, the scene here is really frantic. Leary has gone berserk. He is giving mushrooms to hat check girls, cab drivers, waiters, in fact, anybody who will stand still for it. However, Gerald Hurd and your correspondent have taken a firm stand. We both refuse to take any more mushrooms under any circumstances. Hurd is certainly the most intelligent and well-intentioned person connected with this deal. He gave a great talk at the symposium about LSD and paranoid sensations. The last banner, panic. I find that part especially funny because it seems that Burroughs he has a very paranoid reaction to what Leary is doing, because in the next letter to Geisen, he says, Dear Brian, situation here worse than I can tell you. Ovens now on mescaline. This is Ovens was some particular painful paranoia psychedelic experience that he had, that they had both had or something. Ovens now on mescaline, all caps. Do not take any hallucinogen under any circumstances. Mescaline last night, small dose from underground contacts, ovens incomparably more potent. Attack absolutely hopeless. Saved by apomorphine and friends in the underground. Says, made it out of Cambridge just under the wire. Leary had ordered mescaline and had me all set up. Would no doubt have snatched my apomorphine stash. Claire Booth loose money and power behind this. Leary has half of New York out looking for me. Notably his errand boy Conrad Rooks with obvious orders. Only thing beats the ovens is apomorphine. Apomorphine, only hope of averting total disaster. This is the important part. Anyone who, as Leary does, deliberately comes out against use of apomorphine, marked total enemy, marked Nova Guard. In dealing with these oven guards, absolutely any means are permitted. I will do what I can, but we must face the possibility of total failure and total disaster.
Is that Brian Geisen or Burroughs saying that?
That's Burroughs writing a letter to Geisen.
Okay, but Geisen said something earlier, right? You were reading from Bison's.
I was mentioning a later letter mentioning McLuhan.
So that's mainly Burroughs. So
the point is that in the Burroughs, like McLuhan got that Nova Express, that the Nova Con side was partially the psychedelic thing, but I don't, before these letters had come out, I never got the sense that people really understood just how much Burroughs at that point, when right around 1961, he's like composing that book, just how much he considered Leary to be a... Now, you kind of got the sense that Burroughs thought, oh, those guys are kind of useless and jacking off, and that ultimately it's a bit of a wank, and there's nothing really to it. He was more interested in the non-chemical highs and felt that that had more promise, and he was more interested in apomorphine, but there's kind of an assumption that, oh, well, and especially because they became friends later, that he was not so much an enemy of Timothy Leary. But at that point, anyway, he really felt that Timothy Leary was on the forefront of the conspiracy, and he really identified, he uses, in a couple different letters, he uses the word pestiferous to refer to Leary and his project and the psilocybin and stuff, and really identified it with just the money behind it, the loose backing.
Awesome.
So,
Now that Nova Express may be Burroughs reacting to the new environment for a few minutes, the new environment being these chemical warfare stuff. Sorry, Garrett Leary, but by the 70s and 80s, those drugs are not an anti-environment or any threat, and so he can afford to become a friend of Leary later when the battle's over and they both lost. And McLuhan won. But the thing is, Roxy, who was responsible, became famous tonight for programming a lot of our music. I don't know if you heard a lot of the music up there in Toronto. But she writes in, Naked Lunch changed my life. The zone and the routine concepts. This is delicious, commenting on what you're saying. This is wonderful. I am in the zone, killing pain routine. Then she says, she demands that you do this every week. The notes of McLuhan on different books. Now, Roxy...
Oh, yeah, don't worry, I will.
Yeah, Roxy is staff, so the staff member is demanding this kind of response.
Excellent.
Okay, so let's see. Let's open the phone here. Let's see if Ion has anything to say about this. Don't knock the fucking discussion, Ion. If you have anything to contribute, Ion, to this? Do you have anything to elaborate what Burroughs is going through?
Should you try to be a straight-A student? If you are, then you think too much.
Yes. Would you comment on the thinking of Burroughs and McLuhan and Geisen and Leary? What's going on here? Triangulate it a bit.
Don't you know about the new fashion, honey? All you need are looks and a whole lot of money.
Are you quoting Hotel California?
No.
Which song are you quoting?
It's in your inbox.
Oh, okay. Let me just check that.
It has to do with your conversation.
Right. It's still rock and roll to me, Billy Joel?
Do.
Okay.
It's a placated reference between what you're trying to achieve and accomplish, and it's all settled in a nice, easy, simple song. You're trying to be something you're not. You want to get there, you can't. You don't know why you're not there. the mess.
Hey, we don't need these value judgments. Come on.
But we're done.
Hey, comment on what is Leary going through? Why is he paranoid about... Now, why is Burroughs paranoid about Leary in the early 61, 62 period?
We just told you.
What? What did you say?
We said it's a value judgment based upon I want to be, I can't be, I don't know what is. I'm trying to figure out what is and fit there. I'm not that, so I don't fit in. So therefore, I must do another thing to try to fit in. Down to the stale heroin. We're tired of the fresh.
I see. So, Brian, I am saying that basically Leary is looking for a group, a Happy Valley, and he couldn't fit into the Leary scene for some reason. So he goes on to Scientology and other things.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right.
Actually,
the next phase, new wave, dance craze anyway.
Are you quoting The Fire Next Time? Is that Billy Joel's song title? No,
yes.
We didn't start the fire. We didn't start the fire. Yeah, it's still
no,
rock and roll.
Everybody's talking about the new sounds funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. See, he's trying to fit it into a new place that already is, and he can't figure out that it already is. He's already there, but he can't find it. He doesn't know it is because it's not to him, so it's not.
Okay, so, well, what's Leary doing? Is Leary represent something new?
Nothing, no. The oligarch that's trying to be.
And it was Henry Luce of Time Magazine hoping Leary would become quite a figure and influence people?
That would be his card. It would be his card into a new scale of media ecology. That's what he was trying to do.
Henry Luce's card.
Do.
Yeah. In other words, create the disease and offer the cure. He would get this to be a panic, and then they could police it. Is that what you mean?
A pandemic, as it were.
Yeah, like Ebola or something, right?
We're going to have fun on the chat hour tonight, y'all. It's going to be pretty fun.
You mean the chat with Dr. Dean? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Brian, one more. Let's see what final remarks you can make, Brian. Really appreciate this, and I think people will really enjoy it as much as
you can. It's ridiculous. Don't believe it. It's a word to be giggling at you in 2 seconds. Don't worry.
Who's giggling?
You will.
No, that's fucking bullshit.
No,
I appreciate what Brian's doing.
Yeah. Maybe if I was finished, maybe if I'd already put in a year's worth of weeks, but we're still. He doesn't want to discourage me from going back to the library and presenting my findings.
Yeah, that's right. So Brian,
the trouble with the lighthouse is the light that came from the lighthouse is already illuminated.
That we didn't know that was trouble.
It's not. We're just acknowledging it.
Just the trouble. So Brian, depending on your pace, maybe at least every 2 weeks, be good if you do it every week, but we'll give you a stay if you can't really get there every week and feel like you found something.
He's already lagging for your limitations.
But we've had budget cutbacks, Brian.
We haven't seen your stride yet. It's all good. If you can't come back with something on May Brussels, then by God, just don't come back. You know.
Yeah. Okay. So let's. So Brian, I have called Brian. Brian, you're welcome.
We called him out.
Yeah. Roxana, do you have something you would like to say to Brian in appreciation for what he contributed today?
Oh.
Get off mute, Roxy. You're off mute. You can speak.
Well, you've got him all paranoid, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
We're on the show. I'm doing my routine.
Yes. What would you say to Brian?
Well, it's very amazing to see what McLuhan was thinking when he was reading anything. You know, like the
right.
Love Express and these concepts of the biological film, the biological theater.
Yeah, biological theater.
Theater. Yeah, it's amazing. And it would be very nice if he could talk more about all these things.
Are you still there, Brian?
I am still here.
Okay, good. You know that Nova Express is predicting Bob and Carolyn coming out of Nova Scotia. You know, that's the hidden linguistic and/or meme part.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Nova Express.
One of the things in the Burroughs Letters book that's revealed is that for a while he seemed to have gotten the wrong, he was calling it Novia with an extra little I in there, and someone had to correct him and let him know that the word for a star exploding or going nova or whatever was just N-O-V-A. I mean, I know that also means the new.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, he's spelling it with an I for a while, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and when Burroughs, you know, Roxanne is a Mexican princess, and when Burroughs went into Mexico, he couldn't take the frequency that Roxanne offered, and of course he shot his wife, you know, so remember the Mexica faux pas that Burroughs went through because of
Roxanne. Yeah, the William Tell game went wrong down there.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of that, Roxy? Was that your relatives or you?
Yes, we know nobody can die if they don't want to, so she arranged that.
Yes, she wanted to make you look good.
Yeah. But now I was thinking, Ion. Because of what Bob is always saying, this actually really means this and that. They're talking about Bob and Ion and Caroline.
Just left the conference.
Who just left? No, Rox is still here. Don't go away, Greenbrow. We're getting back to you. But what are you saying, Roxanna?
Yeah, like, because of what you say every time, like, this really means this, and they're talking about Bob, for example, in the Bible, or Joyce, or Nostradamus, doesn't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unlike the real muse is something connected with non-physical, and they're, like, just getting into this cloud and just...
That's right. Accidental channeling.
Expressing that, and now we're really getting the meaning of all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been saying all along, and you wouldn't believe us. We've been telling you all along, and you were like coming along. We said a long time ago that it's coming, and now it's arriving, and everyone's surprised. And it's like, well, and then that's like, Bobo, that's old school pandemic, the world falling down, and the LaRouche getting hemorrhoids, and those varicose veins of the ass, long goes, and so all that's sort of been beat to death. So the point of how it all comes back to Bob is very simple and easy, because in that civilization it does. Okay, now you could trip on something and say something else. That's okay, and it's your wild white carpet ride. But if you go back to the White Album, it cleans all that up because of the media ecology of Bob has been set up long since the Beatles.